At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Rob McInnes, Manager of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us to discuss our 2011 third quarter results. With me today are CEO Ashim Ghosh, CFO Alistair Cowan, COO Rob Peabody, our Vice President of Midstream and Refined Products, Terrence Cuttrick, and our Vice President of Downstream, Bob Baird. In today's call, we will provide an update on Husky's business strategy and an overview of results, followed by a question and answer session. Please note that today's comments contain forward-looking information. Actual results may differ materially from expected results because of various risk factors and assumptions that are described in our quarterly release and in our annual filings, which are available on SEDAR, EDGAR, and our website. I'll now turn the call over to Ashim.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us. This is the third consecutive quarter in which we've been able to demonstrate steady improvements across a broad set of performance metrics. I'd summarize by saying our business is on course and we are making gains in the areas we targeted for improvement. Production is towards the high end of our guidance and our focused integrated assets are performing well and contributing substantial value. And we are on track to achieve the milestones set out for our mid and long-term growth pillars. The results for the quarter were solid, with earnings up 100% compared to the third quarter of a year ago. Cash flow was up 67%, and production grew 7%, averaging 309,000 barrels of oil equivalent per day. I just touched on the focused integration strategy. That strategy is delivering, because with substantial refining capacity in the U.S. Midwest, specifically the PADD 2 market, we've been able to capture a material portion of the higher market crack spreads prevailing in that market. And as a result, midstream and downstream operations contributed $302 million to net earnings in the quarter. Coming to some quarter highlights by area, start with the Asia Pacific. We sanctioned development of the principal fields of the Liwan gas project, which followed the submission of an overall development plan for the Liwan 3-1 field with the Chinese government authorities. You will recollect that in the previous quarter, we had signed the gas sales agreement for volumes from this field. These are very important milestones as we continue to advance the project towards planned first gas towards the end of 2013, beginning of 2014. And together with our Madura Straits developments, which are offshore Indonesia, we envision producing in the range of 50,000 barrels equivalent per day from the Asia-Pacific region in 2015. Next growth pillar that I'd like to talk about is oil sands. So another important highlight for the quarter was the commencement of major construction activity at our Sunrise Energy project and the completion of drilling of approximately half of our planned SAGD wells for phase one. The contractor for the central plant facility has mobilized to the site and the construction of a 1,500-person camp is underway. And overall, the Sunrise Phase 1 project remains on schedule and on budget towards production, first production in 2014. Coming to the Atlantic region, we achieved a significant milestone in the third quarter. First production was achieved from a two-well pilot program at West White Rose, which is the next satellite field to be developed at our core White Rose development. And this pilot should provide us with very valuable information which will be used to refine the full development plan for the West White Rose resource. A word about production. Production remained towards the high end of our guidance for the quarter, supported by strong performance from North Amethyst and new volumes from the West White Rose pilot. But I do want to remind you that volumes were impacted by the prolonged shutdown of the Rainbow Pipeline in northern Alberta, which resumed operations in September. But over the course of the third quarter, we estimate production was reduced by approximately 6,000 barrels a day. And the second thing I'd like to remind you is we have set a compound annual growth target of production of 3 to 5% through 2015, but this is not an annual growth target I've said this before, but it's worth repeating, it is a compound annual growth target. We will see some spikes in production as projects come online, and then we will see flat periods as we experience natural declines and, of course, most importantly, turnarounds. But overall, from everything we've seen so far, we remain comfortable with our target over the planned period and, in fact, expect to be at the higher end of the target as we increase investment following our recent raising on capital. So in summary, we continue to execute against our strategic plan. We are, of course, to achieve the milestones we set out a year ago, and I think the achievements in the quarter are a vindication of that conclusion. Our solid financial results demonstrate the gains we have made to increase near-term production and the value behind our focused integration strategy. We continue to achieve key milestones in advancing our three growth pillars in oil sands, Asia-Pac, and the Atlantic region. And the strength of our balance sheet leaves us well positioned to weather the economic uncertainty that we are faced with a new piece of news emerging, you know, with astounding regularity every month over much of the last year. So we are well positioned to keep the ship on course regardless of that uncertainty. On that note, let me hand you over to Alistair.
Thanks, Asim. As Asim indicated, we've had another very solid quarter. However, I'd like to point out that the results do reflect some items relating to higher expensed exploration costs in our upstream business and also higher FIFO inventory accounting, WTI Brent differentials in respect of crude feedstock and higher U.S. tax rates in the U.S. downstream business. Our net earnings for the quarter were $521 million, or 53 cents per share. That compares to $261 million, or 30 cents per share in the third quarter of last year. Cash flow, as Asim mentioned, increased 67% to $1.3 billion, or $1.39 per share, compared to $794 million, or 93 cents per share a year ago. And looking at upstream, the earnings in that business segment increased by $81 million in the third quarter, or 35%, and higher volumes and prices were partially offset by increased expense exploration costs in accordance with the new accounting policy. For the first 9 months of 2011, upstream net earnings are up 72%. Midstream and downstream businesses performed well during the quarter, and they continued to benefit from increased refining and marketing margins as well as higher volumes. Midstream contributed $56 million to net earnings compared to $25 million a year earlier, and that was primarily due to higher pipeline throughputs. Canadian downstream contributed $165 million to net earnings compared to $39 million a year earlier. Reflects a 53-day turnaround that took place in the third and fourth quarters of 2010 at the Lloydminster upgrader, but also higher realized margins in both upgrading and asphalt businesses this year. And the U.S. downstream contributed $81 million to net earnings, and that compared to net earnings of $1 million a year earlier. 3 points I'd like to make on U.S. downstream. Firstly, as a result of the location of our refineries, we do have a product and location discounts to benchmark market cracks, and that's approximately 20 to 25%, depending on our product stream. The results we reported do reflect the impact of our overall U.S. downstream crude feedstock slate being approximately 6% WTI priced, the remainder being Brent priced. Plus, we have an estimated $83 million negative cash flow impact from FIFO inventory accounting in the quarter. Now, as you know, this is variable quarter to quarter and does depend on the delta between crude oil prices at the beginning and the end of the quarter. From a big picture perspective, it's been a very turbulent period for the economy and our industry. Our crude prices are strong, but we have seen increased volatility. The WTI Brent differential remains unusually wide, but is mitigated in Husky's case by our Atlantic and Asia Pacific production and our U.S. downstream in Part 2 exposure. Natural gas prices in North America do remain weak. And as Asim said, the actions we undertook earlier this year to strengthen the balance sheet have certainly given us the financial flexibility to continue to execute against our balanced growth strategy through this period of volatility. In looking at pricing during the quarter, the details are in the MD&A, but I do want to point to three sort of key highlights. The average realized crude oil price was $77.95 per barrel. That compared to $64.28 per barrel for the same period last year. The realized upgrading differential in the quarter was $29.87 per barrel, and that compared to $13.80 last year. And that was driven by wider heavy oil differentials and higher synthetic oil pricing. And the realized refining margin in U.S. downstream averaged $16.13 U.S. per barrel compared to $7.77 U.S. a year ago. If I look forward, we've seen a positive pricing environment in the fourth quarter to date, but it is within the context of heightened market volatility. I think there are some key points I want you to keep in mind as we look forward to the fourth quarter. The Lloydminster upgrader completed a minor 42-day turnaround at the H oil plant in October, and during this period, the upgrader operated at approximately 80% of capacity. And the Toledo refinery is going to have two routine turnarounds scheduled to last 14 and 25 days, respectively, during which time throughput will be reduced to approximately 90% of normal levels. And a 28-day turnaround of the Terra Nova FPSO has been rescheduled from September to October, so it will happen in the fourth quarter now. Now, if I look further ahead into next year, the 15-week dockside maintenance for the Terra Nova FPSO, which was scheduled for July 2011, has been deferred to 2012, with an estimated 3,000 barrels per day impact to annual production next year. And the Sea Rose FPSO is scheduled to undergo approximately a 125-day maintenance off-station commencing in the second quarter of 2012. And the impact to production averaged over the entire year is estimated to be about 12,000 barrels per day. Finally, the Board of Directors has approved a quarterly dividend of 30 cents per share. And now Rob's going to take over and discuss the upstream operations.
Thanks, Alistair. As usual, I'll start with safety. We recently completed a comprehensive review of our well fracking procedures. And the other day, along with the president of one of the key service companies that provide this service to us, I had the opportunity to spend a day in the field talking to the people carrying out the work and observing the revised procedures. The additional measures we are taking are to further safeguard our people from potential hazards. Now, during critical phases of the operation, workers are completely removed from high-risk areas. This is one example of how we are using Husky's Operational Integrity Management System, or HOIMS, to introduce intrinsically higher levels of process integrity and safety into our operations. Turning to production and starting with our foundation, as you know, excluding heavy oil and the oil sands business, we currently produce about 160,000 BOEs per day of oil and natural gas from our base in Western Canada. Our strategy is to continue to shore up that solid foundation by repositioning our investment into an emerging portfolio of oil and liquids-rich gas resource plays. Taking a look first at oil resource plays, following wet weather delays in the second quarter, drilling and completion operations resumed at our Bakken project at Unger in southeast Saskatchewan. Four wells were drilled in the quarter, and a further five wells are planned before year-end. Production at the end of 3Q from four wells completed in 2010 and one completed in 2011 was 570 barrels per day. We also continued our activities in the Viking play in both Saskatchewan at Elrose and in Alberta at Redwater. Year-to-date, 20 wells have been drilled, and a further 15 are planned for the fourth quarter. At Redwater, we're also constructing a gas gathering system to reduce flaring. Production performance in both areas is meeting our expectations. With improved conditions, we have also stepped up activities in our other resource plays in the Lower Shaunavon Zone in southern Saskatchewan and in the northern Cardium Trend at Wapiti and Kakwa in west-central Alberta. In gas resource plays, our key focus continues to be our liquids-rich Ansell asset. A preliminary development plan has been advanced, which could potentially see up to around 2,600 Cardium and Deeper Mannville formation wells drilled. To date, in 2011, 28 Cardium formation wells and 4 multi-zone wells have been drilled at Ansell. Planned activity for the remainder of the year includes 6 additional Cardium wells and 5 deeper multi-zone well tests. We recently commissioned additional offload capacity, which increases total production capacity at Ansell to over 50 million cubic feet per day and 2,000 barrels per day of liquids. Moving to our heavy oil business in Lloyd, we continue to make good progress on our thermal developments. Our goal is to achieve an increasingly higher proportion of heavy oil production from long-life thermal projects at finding and development and operating costs that are comparable to the current levels we see with CHOPS production. Construction of the 8,000 barrel per day South Peaks project was approximately 70% complete at the end of the quarter and is progressing on schedule towards first production in mid-2012. Construction of the 3,000 barrel per day Paradise Hill thermal project is approximately 45% complete and is on schedule towards first production in the third quarter of 2012. A single well thermal pilot was also commissioned during the quarter and has achieved first oil at Rush Lake, and the design process has commenced on 4 additional thermal projects. Our goal remains to increase our heavy oil thermal production from around 20,000 barrels per day today to between 40 and 50,000 barrels per day. Turning to our growth pillars, as Ashim mentioned, Phase 1 of the Sunrise Energy Project continues on schedule towards planned first production in 2014. Construction of the central processing facility and the camp for construction workers is underway. To date, drilling has been completed on approximately half of the 49 SAGD well pairs planned for Phase 1. Finally, with respect to Sunrise, a contract for design base engineering for subsequent phases was awarded in October, and front-end engineering and design is expected to be completed by 2Q 2013. We also continue to make progress at the Tucker oil sands project. Tucker exited the quarter with production rates in excess of 9,000 barrels per day, and we have recently seen daily production rates touching 10,000 barrels per day. In the Atlantic region, as Ashim indicated, achieving first oil production from the West White Rose pilot marked another significant milestone for us. Information gained from the pilot will be critical in advancing a full field development plan. Our North Amethyst satellite field continued to perform well with average gross production of 37,000 barrels per day, which is in line with our production target rate for the project. A third water injection well was completed in the quarter, and we now have 3 production wells and 3 water injection wells on stream. Drilling commenced early in the fourth quarter on an exploration well to test the Fiddlehead prospect located south of the Terra Nova field. Husky holds a 50% working interest. Looking at our activity in the Asia-Pacific region, significant achievements have been made at the Liwan project. All major development contracts have been awarded. Liwan 3-1 development well drilling has been finished, and well completion is underway. The shallow water platform, onshore gas processing plant, and pipeline fabrication is progressing. We also made good progress in our plans to develop the Madura Straits natural gas discovery offshore Indonesia. Tendering of equipment and services for the Madura BD field development is now underway. First gas production is targeted for 2014. We also drilled the successful MDA-4 exploration well. The well confirmed significant additional gas resources in the MDA field. The well tested at an equipment-restricted rate of 18.8 million cubic feet per day, and a plan for the development of the MDA field is expected to be filed in 2012. So in summary, we continue to make substantial progress on developing our emerging oil and gas resource plays and in advancing our growth pillars while maintaining our focus on the current quarter's performance. At this time, I'd like to turn you over to the moderator for your questions, and following the Q&A, Ashim will offer some closing remarks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Analysts who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Your first question comes from George Toriola of UBS. Please go ahead.
Thanks a lot, and good morning, guys. My question is around the oil and gas resource plays that you have, Ansell, and you talk about a project in the back end. Starting with Ansell, lay out what you think the plan would be for accelerating some of those things and the scale that you expect out of your resource plays here. If you could go through sort of the top three, that would be very helpful.
Rob, do you want to take that?
Yeah. Thank you, George. Just going through them, I guess, and I'll keep it relatively light. Ansell, we're clearly in the, I won't say early stages of development, but we still have a lot of work to do there, and we're working through the play. I think, as previously indicated, we think Ansell can be very material, as we've talked about the potential for 2,600 development wells. If you do the math on that, you get very material amounts of production, something that approaches the current production level of Husky. Now, clearly, in terms of gas, keep in mind, though, we do have a value acceleration process underway, so that could factor into the final net volumes that are developed by Husky. If we look at the Bakken, I think we've indicated before, again, we're seeing great results at the Bakken, well in line with our expectations, but we don't have huge running room in the Bakken. It's a reasonably modest play, and we're looking for something in the 3,000 barrel a day plus range. We may do a little better than that, but that's, to give you an indication, it's not huge running room there. Those are the ones I'd focus on right now. Clearly, we have a number of other plays with various stages of running room, and we have a number of emerging plays that we're working on, which we think could be very material. So our overall strategy has been to start exploiting the ones that we have in the portfolio, part of our current land base, while at the same time developing longer-term emerging plays.
Thanks a lot. And maybe just a quick follow-up question. You talked about the process that's underway at Ansell. When do you think you'd be able to speak to that? When do you think you'd have something on that?
Well, as Rob mentioned, George, we are in the early stages of that process, and as soon as we have something concrete to disclose, we will. But I do want to remind you of the whole idea of, pharma, which we call value acceleration, is value acceleration. So if we get the value, we will progress it. And if for some reason we don't get the value we think the project deserves at this point in time, we won't. I think that's about all I can say at this point in time.
And George, just one other thing is that we will be giving a bit more of an update on these plays at our Investor Day in December.
Okay, thank you very much.
The next question is from Greg Pardy of RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, morning, guys. Just how are you thinking about 2012 in terms of capital investment? I mean, you're well financed, very strong balance sheet. How much would be discretionary in the budget, and is there a likelihood when you come out with numbers that you may take a more conservative approach and then look to increase capital in the second half of the year as opportunities present themselves? Thanks very much.
I mean, the overall answer really has to be what we just told the previous caller, which is, look, we will be in a position to give more concrete guidance to you guys at Investor Day. But overall, I think I'd make one comment, which harkens back to what I spoke earlier. Look, the ship is on track, and we don't see massive changes from the sorts of stuff we've discussed in the past with you. You know, the reason we recapitalized was to be able to ride through the ups and downs and topsy-turvies of the market. So don't expect a major... We see no reason for a course correction.
Okay. Thanks very much.
The next question is from Joe Citarella of Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Anything you can say or more color you're able to give on the heavy oil solvent EOR pilots, I guess including the two new ones you've started here in the third quarter. How are things trending there, and any update would be much appreciated.
I'll just hand you over to Rob for that one.
Yeah, okay. We are continuing to move forward on those pilots. We have four of them in operation now, and the initial focus on the pilots was to prove the technical feasibility of the project. That's worked well. We've definitely seen increased recoveries using that. Now the focus is on getting the cost down so that those projects will be comparable to the type of economics we can realize on our thermal projects in heavy oil. The next stage of that, as I think is included in the MD&A, is we are actually commissioning a CO2 recovery plant that takes CO2 off our ethanol plant and will be used as part of these as part of the piloting program.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
As a reminder, analysts who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The next question is from Andrew Potter of CIBC. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Just a broader question on acquisitions. It seems like every second week I hear you guys rumored as a buyer of specific assets or even big corporate deals. I know you won't be able to give anything specific, but maybe just a few thoughts on how you're thinking about the acquisition market and, you know, if it is at all a possibility that we see you look at bigger corporate type deals, or are you more focused on kind of smaller one-off strategic things?
Andrew, I just have to stick to the party line here and don't read any particular thing into the party line, but if I digress from the party line, then it's always a question. We don't comment on speculative rumors, okay? So I just can't comment on that. I've told you in the past that, look, housekeeping stuff is kind of goes on in a small way on an ongoing basis, and there's nothing material that I can talk of at this time that's on the horizon.
Okay, and then maybe just one other question on some of the emerging resource plays. You know, in some of these plays that or these newer stage plays, I mean, can you comment at all in terms of where you're at on some of these things, like in terms of how many wells or how many wells you might have on production, or when we're going to get a little bit more definition on some of these things?
Yeah, Andrew, this is Rob Peabody again. Just what I would say on that is we're taking a very, rigorous process to how we develop these plays. And, you know, the first phase of this is to drill some vertical wells into some of the plays and then some observation wells and then to test some fracking procedures. So the idea is to be very clear about the potential for the play before we start deploying material amounts of capital.
Okay. Will there be more to say at your investor day on those kind of things, or is this even further, or is it further out than that to get any real insight in terms of where you're looking?
Yeah, we'll certainly give an update of where we are.
Sure. Okay. And then the last question, I promise, is Mizzen. I don't know if you can comment at all on when you expect to be at TD there.
We have TD the Mizzen exploration well, and we're evaluating the results of that well at this time. It is a tight hole, and there's an upcoming land sale in the area.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
We will now open the question and answer to members of the media. If you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone. The next question is from Abby Barron of VOCM Radio. Please go ahead.
Hi, just looking for you guys to do a little highlight of some strategies and developments plan for the province of Newfoundland and Labrador.
As you know, we have a material position there. The core of our business goes back with six years of the White Rose project, and we have, we basically you know, have extension fields around that that we have spoken to you about. Then you also know about explorations in Mizzen. Some of you are aware of our extensions in the Greenland process, which is really part of the same larger basin. But as we move forward, we are at the early stages of our examination of a wellhead platform concept, which will be the kind of next phase of development of that field from the floating drill rig concept. It's a proven concept employed worldwide. We believe it could extend the economic life of the White Rose project and increase oil recovery from nearby fields, makes drilling more efficient. But our preferred concept, and which again I stress is at the very early stages of evaluation, would be significantly different from Hibernia or Hebron in scale, because we would keep the CROs as an integral part of the production methodology. But again, I basically stress, look, this is at an early stage, but nonetheless, it's a concept that we believe has material gives us material opportunity to extend the life of the area where we have a very significant presence.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Nathan Vanderclip of Globe and Mail. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning. Just wondering if you could just provide any insights on your views of gas prices going forward. And I know these things are a bit crystal ball efforts, but I mean, how your views on gas prices and how soon a recovery might be at hand is influencing your investment right now.
Well, I'll give you the official party line. The official party line is we don't make forward-looking statements on things determined by the market. And I'll give you the unofficial party line, which is any CEO who sticks his neck out in predicting the price of any hydrocarbons is really sticking his neck out. So, no. In short, Nathan, we don't give guidance on that.
I mean, can you suggest whether you're generally bullish or bearish?
Well, I'll give you a more general answer, which I spoke very early at our investor day and in my various meetings. Look, I believe in drown-proofing a business. So therefore, I believe in creating a balance sheet and a set of plans that ride through cycles.
Right. Thank you.
And if you look at where our new capital is being deployed, we are basically going after liquids-rich gas resource plays as an extension of that drown-proofing strategy.
Thank you.
The next question is from Dan Healing of Calgary Herald. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I just had a quick question about the Northwest Territories investment made earlier this summer. Can you, I realize it's early days, but can you give us some ideas of what you hope to see up there, what your initial plans are?
Well, you know, I just want to first of all re-clarify what I said earlier. It is not an investment. It is an exploration license, which is a work commitment. So therefore, we've actually not spent any money. We have an intent in exploration in the area, and what we have said is we will, the so-called commitment is really a commitment to spend a certain amount of money over the next 5 years. We have made significant progress, and we've got a foundation to work with. We've got an access and benefits agreement with the key stakeholders in the area, mm-hmm. And we are proceeding in the near term with a winter program that includes acquiring 3D seismic and drilling of two vertical wells. But it's early days yet, and once we have properly evaluated the lands, we'll have more to say.
Okay. Can you speculate at all on what you'll find there?
No, exploration and speculation. I ain't going to double speculate.
Okay. Great. Thanks.
As a reminder, members of the media who wish to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. The next question is from Jeff Lee of Pipeline News. Please go ahead.
Yes, with your new building there in Lloydminster, what's the status of that? And with your switch to the thermal, how many new people have you been hiring in the last few months?
It's Rob Peabody again. Yeah, the build, we make good progress in just, we had to replace the current office building because it was very old and had some issues with it. So we have put a replacement building in place. We're expecting to move into it early next year. I think the only thing I'd take from the building really is that it does represent the fact we think Lloydminster is a very long wavelength business, and we expect to be there in another 20 years, the same way we've been there for the past 60 years. So that's just, I would just take the view that we expect to be there for a long time.
Okay, thank you.
There are no more questions at this time. We'll turn the conference back to Mr. Ghosh.
Thank you, and thank you for joining us. Thank you for your questions. I do want to remind you that we'll be holding our second annual Investor Day on December the 5th in Toronto at the Royal York Hotel, and our leadership team will be on hand to answer any questions you've got and update you on our strategy and performance. As we part, I'd just like to leave one thought with you. We've been focusing on making Husky an execution machine, and I hope that the results of the quarter indicate some progress in that direction. And that's what we'll keep working on. There have been no significant changes in strategy in the quarter or indeed since in the year since we first outlined it to you. So broadly, we remain a ship on course. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now concluded. You may disconnect your telephones. Thank you for participating, and have a pleasant day.